What's up, everybody? Welcome back into another episode of Cult Film Cafe. Of course, it is me, Jonathan, and as always, I'm joined by my partner in crime, Kenzie.
Hello!
So, yay, we're back with another episode, and this one's an absolute cracker. We're going to be talking about the 1987 science fiction action movie directed by John McTiernan. It is, of course, Predator.
Nothing like it has ever been on Earth before. We cannot see it, but it sees the heat of our bodies and the heat of our fear. It kills for pleasure. It hunts for sport. But this time, it's picked the wrong man to hunt. He is the ultimate warrior. If he is to destroy it, he must become more than a man. More than an animal. He must become the very spirit of the Predator. Arnold Schwarzenegger in Predator. Soon the hunt will begin.
Yeah, we've got a big hitter off the list. I fucking love this movie straight off the bat. I'm going to say that is fucking so good to watch it again. And it's not really aged all that much. Well done, practical effects. Yay, fuck the CGI, get back to that.
Even like the invisibility effect, which you'd think would age, still looks great.
Invisibility is still good. The heat sensor kind of graphics would be upgraded, I think, today. Like, see the kind of whatever vision that you see.
It's not that bad, though.
It's not bad. It's what you would expect from that time in sort of military sort of operations. But I think that would probably be framed different in 2023. But I think the rest of the film would be pretty shit, though. Because who's being Arnie in 2023?
There's no such thing as a new... There's no one's ever replaced him. He's a one of a kind. Like, Stallone isn't the same. If you know what I mean? Even for the time, they were two different things. There's no one to be what Arnie was. And I don't think there ever will be, because like, I've watched like a documentary about the guy. The guy's insane. I absolutely love him. He's just... His mindset and everything, I just don't think you'll get another person like Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Conquered bodybuilding, then was like, do you know what? Let's be an actor.
And then go into politics.
And fucking conquered acting. Well, not really acting, but specifically what he done.
He became the movie star. He became the movie star, which he was told he couldn't
do. The action star, really, I suppose.
Oh, yeah, but he was told he was never going to be able to do that.
Yeah, true, because of his English, and he proved everybody wrong. And yeah, then we got his politics stint as the governator of California. Interesting. See, that's one thing about his career that kind of annoys me. But he was getting older, and obviously he had to stop making movies. I think the last film he was in before he was officially governor was a cameo in Around the World in 80 Days, the Steve Coogan, Jackie Chan version.
Oh, okay.
He plays, I can't remember the character, but he's in it as a cameo. But then, I think that was like 2003. Yeah. And then we kind of, he wasn't in anything for like, I don't know, like 10 years it seems.
I don't remember seeing him anything until, The Expendables.
Aye, but they're only cameos. I mean, being a star. Yeah. I think the first thing I remember him being a star in, like a vehicle for him, was The Last Stand.
Last Stand is what I was going to say, yeah. I think that was just kind of come. I've not seen it.
It's all right, like.
It's all right,
I mean, look, I've got a soft spot for Arnold Schwarzenegger. Like, this is my wheelhouse. I grew up on this kind of action.
Same.
Arnie, Sly, Jean-Claude Van Damme, Steven Seagal. Maybe like this, but
I think Arnie stays strong. Kids today will still be watching.
100%.
I don't know about ones, but is that Jean-Claude and kind of Seagal have more kind of died out, but absolutely Arnie is just the one that's just shown it will just always stay strong.
He's just like, such a presence. That's the thing. I think you can't not kind of remember him, or like. I think he was really clever because he attached himself to really good filmmakers.
He knew what he was doing.
he was clever. Like, yeah, that's kind of weird. He's smart. It kind of annoys me about folk that, like, wow, he's never going to be an actor. And it's like, actually, So he was in Terminator.
He was never going to take Terminator no for an answer.
That was worked with James Cameron three times, I think. True Lies.
Terminator.
They've made a fucking remake of True Lies. I'm not happy about it.
When did that come out?
This year. Oh. It's on like Hulu or something. I'm not going to slander Hulu because they've done a prequel for this franchise called Prey, which was really good.
I liked it, yeah.
If you haven't seen Prey, it is available on Disney Plus, just like The Predator is.
Probably the best Predator film since the first one.
The best Predator film since Predator.
Yeah.
I would say that, yeah. Like, I remember watching it, and I think I might have said that exact thing when I said something on Instagram about it. But no, Predator, this obviously stars the one and only Mr. Arnold Schwarzenegger. We also have Carl Weathers,
yep,
who is more famous for being Apollo Creed probably than this, but I do remember him from this. We have Bill Duke as Mac. Mac's quite good. I like Mac, the silent guy. He's cool. I think my favourite character, though, might be Billy. Billy's a fucking nutcase. Like,
which one's he?
The one with the long hair that chops himself in the middle of the bridge.
Oh, yeah.
He, like, cuts his chest.
Aye, he starts doing mad shit, and he's like, he goes to fight it himself or something like that, doesn't he? Eventually, yeah.
Jesse Ventura, he's Blaine, the minigun operator.
Yes.
Jesse the Body Ventura to all you wrestling fans out there. We also have Shane Black, who has now became a director. Sure, he directed Iron Man 3, off the top of my head. Then we have Kevin Peter Hall, who played the Predator. He was also the helicopter pilot as well, so you actually get to see him without the Predator suit on.
Oh, right.
But we'll kind of touch upon the Predator because there's a bit of information which people probably know, like, if you've done any reading about it. Also, Arnie's got one of the coolest names in this. Like, Dutch, what a fucking name, man. Big Major Alan Schaefer, but he's Dutch to me.
Dutch Schaefer. Yeah. he always has the coolest names in these films.
Well, I think Commando came out in 1985. I'm pretty sure his name's John Matrix in that. What a name.
I know.
What a fucking name.
I'm not the biggest fan of Commando.
Oh, what a film. Fuck off.
I know, I need to watch it again, but when I first watched it, I wasn't huge on it. I need to give it a rewatch.
That's a hot take for me. I fucking love Commando.
I'm going to revisit it. I'm planning to go through like all Arnie films pretty much, or all the big ones.
Arnie's been in some absolutely amazing films, like Total Recall.
Love it. I got the Steelbook recently.
What a fucking movie.
Running Man. I know that's not
Running Man.
I love it. It's my favourite.
Running Man's good. He was on a heater for like 15 years. Then he kind of tailed off a bit. Like, late 90s, he was doing some films that he was kind of getting a bit experimental. Not like experimental, but it was like not being like the macho kind of action stuff. Yeah,
he ended up in things like Kindergarten Cop.
That was early 90s.
The early 90s.
But he also...
Well, the Jingle All the Way, is that more like...
Mid-90s, 96. Yeah, okay. So, but that was still fine. Like, I think going lighthearted was fine because he'd done... Twins, Junior, Kindergarten Cop. That side of him, Jingle All the Way. It's more when he's in films like End of Days.
Weirdly enough, I know it's not a rated pretty poorly film. My parents love that film.
It's quite enjoyable. I think I've just got this bias towards Arnie, though. It's probably not the best film in the world.
It's their favourites, I think, for Arnie films.
He was in things like The Sixth Day. Erasure was like mid-90s. He was still like...
I want to check that one out. Was it Red Heat or something? I know it was earlier.
Red Heat was 80s. Raw Deal was 80s.
I want to check Red Heat out. That was Walter Hill, wasn't it? Directed that. Warriors, just for anyone who doesn't know who
it was.
Walter
the very
Hill
first episode of the podcast as a wee throwback. But I've just talked about Arnie's career. This is my tangent. Great. But I think from like... Well, originally, he'd done some stuff in the 70s. Wasn't really working.
It's the wrong decade for him.
Yeah, and then...
He talks about it himself. He says that in the 70s, your movie stars were skinny men, like, you know, Dustin Hoffman and stuff like that. That's
Al Pacino,
what was in fashion.
Yeah. Robert De Niro, all the, like, classic actors that we see now,
but then you had...
What they wanted from leading men in the 70s was a lot different, you know.
But then you had the 80s, and it was, like, big blockbusters, big muscly guys, and fucking Sly comes along...
Well, Sly was still...
He was 78, I know, because Rocky was quite... But they didn't want him, to be honest.
But the problem is that's its own thing, Rocky. It's kind of weird. I don't understand that. Like, I don't think Rocky gets made without Sylvester Stallone. They wanted to do it, but that's its own conundrum, and it's its own film. But Aye, because there was that rivalry, wasn't it? That was the two of them.
Yeah.
And it was like, because Sylvester Stallone was a movie star before Arnie. But when Arnie happened, it fucking happened in a big way.
They fought, big way. And Sly lost.
Oh, 100%.
I mean,
Sly knows that he lost.
Yeah, you know, I know, he said it, and he was in the interview that I watched, and he even says himself, yeah, I did not own that.
No. It's because, I think the films, I don't think that it's necessarily down to acting style and ability, because they're both not actors. I would call them movie stars.
Arnie's just got a better catalogue.
It's just the films he's in is much, much better. I mean, it started with Conan the Barbarian, which is actually a really good film. Conan the Destroyer is a bit iffy. And then James Cameron plucks him out of nowhere to play fucking his most iconic role, the Terminator.
Which he is brilliant at.
Oh, mate, it's a role made for him.
Yeah, literally.
James Cameron must have got him in a room. I'm pretty sure there was a conversation where Arnie wanted to be Kyle Reese.
Yes, Arnie did not want to play a bad guy. He always wants to be his whole process is he wants to be the movie star. And James Cameron was like, please, can you try and read for the Terminator and see what you think? And he's kind of going.
It worked for his lack of English as well, I think.
Yeah.
Even though there's not much dialogue. We're talking about a film that's also on the list, so we should maybe like bench the Terminator.
No, sorry.
It's coming up, but yeah. You can't not talk about the Terminator when Arnold Schwarzenegger is involved. But no, what's this film about? Well, there is like a Rat Pack group of commandos who get assigned a mission in the Guatemalan jungle. And yeah, all hell breaks loose because they find out very quickly into the film that they've kind of been duped by Dylan, who's Carol Weathers' character, who is a bit of a cunt. Because it seems as if he's all lovey-dovey, they have the manliest... Right, if nobody's ever seen this film, just YouTube, manliest handshake of all time.
Search up, you son of a bitch.
It's just like, so what I've seen,
like, brother, muscle. Like, partly they were like, behind, like, they were trying to be bigger than each other, so they all keep them like, exercising to be bigger and bigger.
I don't understand that, though, because... Carl Weathers is big, but he's not got the frame of Arnold Schwarzenegger, so he's always going to be smaller. It's not a battle you could win. And he delivers that. The CIA, they got you pushing too many pencils. This has got some cool liners in it. This is one of these films.
That's Arnie's speciality.
That is Arnie's speciality. We've finally got one where quotes are going to be aplenty. Not just him, though. There is some other ones that pop up, but what an opening. And then we hit the chopper scene, with the
big boombox,
Little Richard blaring Long Tail Sally, what a tune. And it goes awry very quickly.
What I quite like about this film is that it starts off, and although there's hints of the Predator being there and you can't see things in again, but it starts off like an 80s action film.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, it's an 80s action film. All right, okay. And you're having a good time. You know, he's throwing knives at people and saying, stick around. And I love that line so much. And so it's like, you get your typical Arnie action, and then suddenly, oh, wait, no, it's not. Here comes an alien. And
well, that's kind of one of the readings of the film. It's kind of funny, like, where we talk about, like, when one of the rules of the podcast, like, later on, when you could touch upon it here, we don't really have, like, regiment or fucking whatever, like, sections anymore like we used to. That one of the readings is it's actually, it kind of starts off as this kind of macho 80s action film and then quickly kind of jumps genre to, like, almost like a slasher horror movie.
Yeah.
In the way that the Predator hunts them down, like, one by one. It's kind of subversive. It kind of does subvert the audience quite quick. It's quite good. It's one of these films that when you watch the first time, you just enjoy because it's really quite action-packed. It's actually really quite a good film just to enjoy that way. But, yeah, it's quite interesting reading about it, just what other people think. And I never really thought about it that way until reading about the film and then go, actually, is it much different from a slasher? Not really. I mean, The Predator's just this kind of alien creature, but he does kind of have the hallmarks of somebody that's just trying to isolate people and kind of kill them off.
Yeah.
It's there is some. I forgot just how many kind of gory parts of the film is, and I don't mean people dying. It's just see like the skin bodies that are just hanging upside down. Yeah, because it just like I think Billy is just wandering through, and he like kind of goes through some bushes, and it's just three dangling dead bodies, and you're just like, oh, that's kind of grim. Like you don't often see skinned humans in films, do you know? But I was talking about the Predator, because it was meant to originally be Mr. Jean-Claude Van Damme.
Oh.
Did you not know that?
I did not, actually.
So he was originally cast, and they actually started filming with him.
What happened?
So there's multiple things. So Jean-Claude Van Damme's only 5'9".
He's smaller, right, okay.
So their original plan was to have Jean-Claude Van Damme be like a kind of, use his martial arts skills to kind of the get one up in combat and be kind of more ninja-like rather than the way the Predator ended up. But they found out, realized that when, well, Arnie, Carol Weathers and Jesse Ventura were all bodybuilders.
They're massive.
So when they stood next to him, they were like, well, how can he be hunting them? It's kind of off.
Yeah.
So that's where Kevin Peter Hall comes in. He's 7'2". He's not built, but the height works. And I think when you look at him in the Predator suit, you go, actually, that's kind of scary, mate. Like, it doesn't matter about the build. It's more the actual stature, I think.
Yeah.
And I think it works. They obviously done the right decision. Jean-Claude Van Damme also complained about a lot of other things, like he couldn't breathe in the suit and stuff like that. There was a lot of things like
that. I think an actor like him wouldn't be used to doing stuff like that, you know, kind of being completely covered. People who end up being in like suits like that are usually people who are not like big stars and stuff like that. So
yeah, I mean, obviously he became like a face of films, and it probably was in some films before this. I think Bloodsport was out before. I think that was like 86, but it was nowhere near as big, you know. It's like, but yeah, I can't imagine Jean-Claude Van Damme being in a film where he's not the face. You know, his career kind of went in the same way as like Arnie, like where he wanted to be like the good guy all the time for the most part. Obviously he's not in anywhere near as big or in anywhere near as good films, but I do still quite like Jean-Claude Van Damme. But it was quite interesting that he was actually meant to be the Predator, which is quite funny when you look at the Predator now and you go, actually, that wouldn't work. But basically they get duped. They're trying to recover this whatever. I don't even know what they get told. It's like a rescue mission. Because there's what one of the, happens in earlier in the film, and Arnie says about another team, he's like, why did you not just send in other people? Like, because although they are commandos, they're not mercenaries. They're not just hired guns where they go in. Like, most of the time, they are going to rescue, like, important people or hostages. There's a point of doing it.
Yeah.
They're not just out there just to gun all the people down, which in reality, that's what they're kind of duped into doing to get this bit of information. Yeah. And then it kind of, that's when Arnie's like, fucking Dylan, you set us up, piece of shite, you know.
And I then, completely forgot about all that. I didn't even remember it. I mean, I've not watched this film since I was a kid, honestly. So.
And then obviously they end up with the hostage girl.
Yeah.
I don't know why that she gets spared. I can't really remember.
You just happen to get her without her. She drops her weapon. They just get her in an apartment when she's dropped her weapon or whatever. So.
And then that's when it kind of switches. They then start becoming the hunted. And that's the kind of switches to just kind of being, kind of, they start getting killed like one by one. And then we end up with Arnie and the Predator, and they have the showdown. I'm pretty sure the woman gets out.
Yeah.
She gets in a helicopter. Dylan get out?
Dylan?
Aye.
I'm pretty sure Arnie and the woman are the only people who live. The
only people that have survived.
Yeah. I don't remember anyone else.
Aye, Mac and Dylan, they get killed together, aye. Aye, but it does, like, the whole final showdown's, like, so cool, like, because it's just Arnie's in his element and he's like setting it up. It's actually like a light for light. That's the thing about Prey. Like, the actual kill at the end is pretty much a carbon copy of like setting a trap.
Yeah.
And they're like, they cover themselves in like the mud and stuff. And
there's,
it's like,
there's one thing about Prey's thing that I don't like, which I don't think the original Predator doesn't have.
What?
I hate how she kills the Predator, because I think it's really silly. Because she pretty much sets up the trap so that the thing, she takes his mask and sets it, because it locks on.
Yeah.
But so the Predator tries to shoot her, even though he knows he's not wearing his mask and knows that that spear will not guide towards her,
mm-hmm.
but still tries to fire it anyway, and then notices it's pointing at his head and shoots himself. He should have known for a fact that that shouldn't have fired. Like he should be smart enough to know that. I think that would be something. I know it's cool. It was cool, but I think the Predator would have known. I know. Sorry, I don't know about Prey, but it's just one thing about Prey that I kind of nitpicked. Although I liked it, but that part for me was a bit, yeah, I questioned it a little bit. Whereas this film, no, I love the big, oh, the big fight. They drop all this stuff and attempt to fight, and yeah, he
gets, actually removes his mask and he's got a big manky face.
You one ugly motherfucker.
Yeah, Arnie's great, man. Oh, what a guy.
I'd love to work with him. Where's meet him, to be honest.
If you're listening, Arnie, come on the podcast. I'd love to have you. We've got the Terminator to do that. Would be quite cool. Never going to happen. Like, we're not that famous. But one day, you never know. We could dream. But yeah, that's kind of it in a nutshell with the film. But I mean, we're just kind of playing it out as if it's not that good a film. But
simple,
is.
But amazing concept.
Simple, but effective.
Yeah.
Also shot really well, man. John McTiernan was just an action movie legend.
I mean... I absolutely love John McTiernan. He does one of my favourite films.
Which came out a year after this.
A year after this, yeah, I know, eh?
He's on a heater. Big John was on a heater, man.
Die Hard, man. I absolutely just adore that film. Like, well, this man like such a good director. I mean, having these two films alone under your belt, you could have these two films and leave and you'd still be remembered. Just that, because they're that strong.
I think it's kind of weird because he stopped, like, well, his last film was 2003. When did John... Is he still alive?
I think he's still alive, yeah.
Aye. Why did they stop making movies?
I don't know. Maybe some people just go...
That's kind of strange. He's also got... Like, the remake of a film that's on the list is also him, Rollerball.
All right.
We've got that. We'll do the original one with James Caan from the 70s. They've done a remake in 2002. He done Basic. You ever seen Basic? John Travolta, Samuel L. Jackson?
No.
Oh... I was going to ask Lachlan there, and I was like, what's the point?
I don't think you've seen it either.
We're going to force him onto the podcast with this conversation. fuck. It's quite good. I quite like Basic, like, because it's like, there's like a weird twisty, like, bait and switch thing that happens.
Right.
And it's quite, I quite like it. It's probably not the most rated, highly rated film of all time. But I still quite like Basic. I'm not seeing Rollerball. With 13th Warrior, Antonio Banderas, not a great film. The remake of The Thomas Crown Affair with Pierce Brosnan, I'm pretty sure. Then Die Hard with a Vengeance.
Great,
he also
film.
Done Last Action Hero, Medicine Man, Hunt for October, Die Hard. I mean, it had like a three film run.
I mean,
that
three run is really good, yeah. Going from Predator, Die Hard to the Hunt for Red October.
He obviously takes a lot of time to make films as well. It's kind of strange. See, a lot of people in their early career are just, like, battering them out.
The amount of stars he's worked with as well. I've gone from, like, Bruce Willis, Arnie, to Sean Connery. I mean, not a lot of people would probably have a kind of... that if, like, could jump from those kind of, like, three different people.
No, that's true. Like, not everybody's got the luxury to work with stars all the time, you know. Sometimes you've got to find the star for your film.
Seems to particularly like Arnie and Bruce Willis, so he's worked with them at least twice.
He also worked with Pierce Brosnan at least twice.
Yeah.
He's also worked with Sean Connery twice.
What was the second thing he worked
Medicine
with?
Medicine Man.
Medicine Man.
Sean Connery's in that. So he obviously likes to work with the same people.
Yeah.
And obviously Samuel L., he's worked with him a couple of times. He was the buddy in Die Hard with a Vengeance, was he not?
He's not that. He's the buddy.
He's the buddy. Yeah, fuck.
Great film. Like, with a Vengeance is so good. I know some people like it. I think it's great.
Which is actually was kind of weird because it's kind of got the Pulp Fiction vibe because it's John Travolta and Samuel L. Jackson in a film together. But I don't think they ever actually share that much screen time, which is a lot different, obviously, from Pulp Fiction.
They're only pretty much only bar the like the separate story are pretty much always on screen together.
Yeah, that's true. But yeah, I mean the film is fucking great.
If you haven't seen it yet, like what, like it's like one of the ones that like you really should be watching. I feel like.
100%. That's the thing about this film is like, I think for a long time it was probably deemed quite a culty film. I think like a lot of these 80s action films or that around this time have kind of went into that kind of bracket, but some of them have now
ascended
to be just classic films.
This is absolutely a classic. There's no other way to put it. Especially like, I mean, when you think of Arnie, there's like, what? Two or three things you jump to. Terminator, of course. Predator is like the next one after that you talk about. Sure, like I can't think of anything else before them. Then you'd probably say Total Recall. They're like the kind of big. They're probably the biggest three, right?
What?
Terminator, Predator, and Total Recall. Conan kind of was quite big, but like.
What do you mean? Like, I mean, obviously, things like Conan, he was playing a character, like Terminator's, he's played it multiple times.
No, that's his biggest thing.
No, yeah, well, the Terminator's his biggest thing, yeah.
Like, Predator's probably like a second, right?
No?
What do you think comes first?
I think, like, Total Recall, True Lies is a big film.
Predator's bigger, though.
You think so?
Yeah. I mean, I've never.
I don't know, like.
I don't know a lot of people that talk about True Lies. I know it's maybe really good. I've not even seen it.
I mean, I don't like. I don't know if how I would compare the films, because they are kind of different. I don't know. It's kind of hard. Like, I think when you're famous for like one major character in a film franchise, it's kind of strange because the Terminator franchise is weird and it's never ever died.
No.
And it came back again with Dark Fate, where he actually came back because he was acting again. So he was actually in Dark Fate, which isn't a terrible film. It's just not as good. That's the thing. Like, the Terminator franchise, the first two films are, like, so good that it's really hard to then capture that again.
It's yeah, and I think they've not done a very good job. I like 3. I know 3 is really dunked on, but I've like it's the first Terminator film I ever watched.
Yeah, I think, like, this film... I think another thing, I mean, it was shot entirely on location in Mexico.
Yeah.
Massive, like, love films that do that. I think films that shoot on location are infinitely better than... I'm not a big fan of, like, special effects-driven, like...
Unless worlds. You really need to.
But also, like, film sets, yeah, like, that's the thing, though. If you look at a film like this that was shot in a jungle...
Yeah.
Practically looks better than I think the film that comes off the top of my head is like Full Metal Jacket, which was filmed in a field in England somewhere. And they just imported all the fucking the palm trees and all the trees and that and made it look like a jungle.
Yeah,
but you can kind of tell but not tell. Like, you can tell you deep dive the film and find out and you go, why, I mean, actually, why did you not just go and shoot in a jungle? But then obviously you add more money and it's a lot of a different production. But yeah, we have waxed lyrical about it. Not really much more to say. We might have missed some things, but yeah. Do we want to rate it out of 5 now, or do we wait till the end? Fuck it, let's give it a rating. Fuck that, let's just do it. Am I going to do it? 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 I don't know. It's so close. I like to revise it because there's sometimes when I give a film a 4.5 and then I dwell on it. The thing last year was, see, now that I think about it, I'm like, I should have just gave it a 5 then.
I would need to rewatch it first, but at the moment I think I still stand by my...
No, that's fine for you, but just there's somebody... I think when you give something a 5 out of 5, like when folk hear it, they go, fuck, shock, it's like a shock.
Yeah.
So it's like really hard to give one. I don't know. I love this film. But is it a 5? No, I'll give it a 4.5.
4.5 for me.
I'm going to sit in the fence and give it a 4.5.
I don't think... Die Hard's a 5 for me. This is a 4.5.
And this has like some sci-fi elements. Obviously, Alien... Predator is an alien. But just off the beaten track a minute. So after I watched this, I watched it a couple of times, but I think I watched it all the way through, and then I watched the first half an hour when I was getting ready the other day there. So I went and seen my sister and Nick. You know Nick's been on the podcast. Great guest. Just listen to him on the podcast. He really brings a different kind of mindset because of his age, which I really like. Nick will be back on very soon, though. We'll need to sort that one out. But I just wanted to Google, like, best action films of all time. So I looked at the Rolling Stones Top 50, the Rolling Stone magazine, and I was scrolling through it. I was like, there's that many subgenres. It's like, I just want what I would deem, like, straight up, like, action.
Yeah.
I don't want The Matrix on that list because it's a sci-fi movie. And it is an action film, I get that. But
so you're looking for, like...
Well, John Wick 1's on it, which I think is an action film.
Okay, I can see what you're
Mad
saying.
Mad Max Fury Road.
Yes.
I can kind of understand that.
I can definitely understand that, okay.
James Bond.
Yeah.
But I think that's kind
but
of...
But it depends on the Bond film.
The film.
Quantum of Solace absolutely is an action film.
Is Goldfinger?
No.
But it was on the list. But Predator was 37 out of 50. I'm like, I don't think I could name you 36 better action films than Predator. This film. I don't think I could. 36 better action films that don't have other kind of slight subgenres. Like, The Matrix is a 5-star film for me. Is it better than Predator? If you look at it on that metric. But if I wanted an action film, I'd watch this over The Matrix.
Yeah.
So that's where the kind of caveat is. I think there's that many subgenres within genres now, it's really hard to get a definitive list, but definitely worth a watch. This is one of the best films that we've done so far on the podcast.
I mean, it's a top 5 Arnie film.
Easily.
I mean, like, what?
I mean, it depends what you like, though. That Arnie does have some heaters, like, are kind of...
I don't know what my 4 and 5 would be, but...
I think we should maybe wait till we do... Arnie pops up in another film. We should maybe rank our Arnie films then.
Right.
When we're on that one, because we've already done this, and we'll have already done this post of the podcast then. Anyway, we're waffling on. It's a 4.5 for both of us. One of the few times where we agree.
We've been agreeing more recently, I think, on some things at least.
I think sometimes I watch a film once. It's like happened in Bubble Hotel. If you haven't listened to that episode, please do. It was actually quite enjoyable. Where I went in to the recording thinking that I didn't like it as much as I did.
And then you realised,
when I started talking about it, like, and putting some of the stuff into context, it actually became a lot better in my mind.
It's not my genre, though, so
I have to caveat that with Bubble Hotel, because it's not a genre that I love, whereas this is fucking right up my street. But anyway, so that is it for that part of the podcast. I'm just going to jump into the rules of Cult Film Cafe. We'll just break it down from that aspect. So, yeah, rewatchability is one. Fucking what a great hour and a half you'll have with this over and over again. Fucking epic film. I don't really know if we should need to say much. This has got so much in it. It's like action.
It's an Arnie film. What are you going to say? It's got Arnie in it. Rewatchable.
it's an Arnie movie, yeah. That is the tagline. Well, Arnie versus Predator. That's what AVP should be.
Yeah.
Not Alien versus
Arnie versus Predator.
The films might have been better.
This is the real AVP film.
Well, actually, probably a lot better than those films.
Oh, way better. Oh,
I've not seen an AVP, so I don't want to slander it.
I've seen the second, but I was too young to really remember it.
So it's like low budget stroke box office flop is another one.
Budget's all right.
15 to 18 million,
that's an okay budget. I would exactly call it a low budget.
It's 1987. I don't know, I'm kind of on the fence with that one, but it fucking smashed the box office,
so yeah.
So it's probably a no, really.
Yeah.
Yes for rewatchability, no for low budget short box office flop.
This is like a quick fire thing. They're quite obvious.
We're quick firing it off.
But quotability? I mean, like,
we've already said a couple of them.
There's one we've not said yet.
Stick around. That's the bit. Like, it's so good. That reminded me of Commando. Like, Commando's
got
one of the best.
Steam, Bennett.
Commando's got one of the best Arnie lines. Like, I get the Terminator's like I'll be back and stuff. It's really famous and like hasta la vista, baby. But Commando. See, the thing about Commando is got such a big payoff at the end of the film that makes it. That's why it's so worth a watch. Kenzie's kind of humming and hawing in it, but
I need to read. It's been a while since I watched it. I need to rewatch it.
So many good ones. It's like, do you remember when I told you I'd kill you last?
I lied.
Just drops him off a cliff.
I mean, I particularly like Total Recall's ones like consider this a divorce.
Oh,
see you
yeah,
at the party,
yeah.
Richter.
Total Recall's good. That's a good movie. The shite they're remaking all these and kind of making them naff. I wonder if Total Recall, I think Total Recall's on the list, is it?
No.
Kind of probably could have been.
It's probably.
I would put it on over some of the films on there.
I feel like Total Recall was probably a better fit than Predator.
Think so?
Yeah.
I don't think so. I think Total Recall's...
I think
Total
Recall's
more famous.
I wouldn't... No.
I think so.
I don't think so.
Well, we disagree there. What else? What's the best one? You're drumming it up.
What's the best what?
The quotability part that you were like...
I mean, we didn't talk about get to the chopper!
Get to the chopper!
It's probably that and one alarm, one ugly
you
motherfucker.
You're one ugly motherfucker.
If it bleeds, we can kill it.
Yeah, I love that. It's a great line.
Still used in tons of stuff.
I use it all the time. Great. It's great if you play a wee game. It's like just cutting about playing Halo. I want to play Halo again, actually.
Everyone wants to play Halo.
Gears
2,
that's the next game me and Kenzie should be playing.
Yeah.
But he's just putting it off because he's a dick. Anything else? There's like the jokes are not, well, they are quotable, but you'll either find them funny or crass. It's kind of 80s humour, I suppose. They're quite misogynistic, I suppose, is what you could say. But it's just...
what do you expect for this kind of time, I guess, really, would you?
Yeah.
It's not like a...
It's kind of funny in the chopper as well, like when Jesse Ventura's like spitting tobacco.
Aye.
And it's like, Carl Weathers does the, and he leans in, he's like the thing about a dirty, that's a nasty habit you've got there. It's like,
I don't know why he's done that.
I done that to my boss at work the other day there. I was like, we're set to reopen at where I work, and I was cleaning out some chest freezers. And I was like, I got him through, he talked to him about something, and he was like, I heard him over say, see if he's getting me through or something. So he came to the door and I just gave him the finger and he was like, fuck. You. It's just like one of those daft things. You summon somebody and you're like, you just point out a fucking obvious thing. Carol Weathers is kind of weird in this. I'm kind of glad he gets bumped off because he's a bit of a dick. But he does play Apollo Creed. Not well seen by contemporary critics, Stroke reveals that is a total lie. This is fucking highly rated, and it should be. I'm sure this is like a 3.5 star for the late great Roger Ebert. No, it's a 3 out of 4. That was reviewed in June 12, 1987. Lucky he got to see all these classic films. He's the GOAT.
Imagine being alive at that time to be.
He's the GOAT, man.
To watch the stuff.
I'm
sad
that he's not with us, man. He is the GOAT, though.
Like, what do you think people were like when Predator first released?
No,
like,
fuck knows, man.
What the fuck?
I guarantee you they didn't expect it to take nearly $100 million.
No, I wouldn't think so.
But fucking smashed.
I mean, Arnie by that point was starting to make quite a name for himself. But
aye. Also, with it being an R-rated film, like it's kind of difficult for them to make money.
Hmm.
Yeah, this couldn't be anything but R-rated. Rotten Tomatoes score. It's an 80%, which is like a four-star movie. Audience score 87. That's kind of more along the lines for me. Fucking, and it's a 4-star from Empire magazine, which is my new one. Should be arriving soon. I can't wait to see what my cover is. That was Chris Hewitt. Who is actually, I'm pretty sure he's still on the pod. He might be the host of the Empire Movie Podcast, which I listen to fleetingly. But the box office numbers, we spoke about that.
So what else do we have?
Controversial topics, subjects and themes. I don't really think so.
It's a bit violent, but that's not
it's
really.
Violent.
It's an action
it's
80s
action
blockbuster film that doesn't really, it's not aiming to be anything different.
Actually, talk about the Predator franchise as a whole. The Predator is a slightly controversial movie in itself.
Yes, with its weird...
With casting choice. Did you know about that?
What is the cast?
So, I just read, because Googling stuff to like write talk about for this one, so you Google like Predator, and obviously there's that many of them, so the Predator is the newest iteration. Obviously Prey's the newest one, but it doesn't bear the Predator name.
Yeah.
That is part of the franchise, though, because it's like a prequel. Olivia Munn was in The Predator, but I'm pretty sure like she made them aware that they'd cast somebody that had admitted to like agreeing to meet like a 15-year-old online or something, man. It was when I read the it was strange. It was something along those lines. That's a highly controversial thing to have in a film. Let's cast a registered sex offender and see how that one goes.
I'm guessing that wasn't the did they know that beforehand?
Well, I don't know how they didn't know though, because it was before the film came out.
Right.
But we're not talking about the Predator. We're talking about Predator.
A Predator. Sorry. Oh, sorry.
Well, Kenji got that. That does make sense? Yeah, you know. Yeah, but no. We're talking about Predator, not the. And the last one's Legacy, which
I mean, the franchise is still booming to this day.
I wouldn't say booming. Like, we had that sequel in like 1990 with Danny Glover, and then
it's like it's had a lot of iffy films, but the fact that they still get films that people watch, really,
I'm pretty sure it was like Predator 2, and then it wasn't until AVP again.
Yeah.
Which basically they kind of merged two popular like alien species from beloved franchises, I suppose. And I suppose Predator 2 is probably the more culty film if you're doing the two these days.
Yes.
But they probably expected that to be a real big success like in 1990 when it came out. So like Xenomorphs versus... Yeah. Well, in fact, is AVP not the like Predator hunting Xenomorphs?
I don't really remember. I think it's the second one I've seen.
Right, so you've got two AVP films and then
Predators,
which I seen the cinema way back in 2010. Pretty good. I enjoyed it. Not as good as this film though. It was kind of strange because it was like us infiltrating their planet. We were on an alien planet, and yeah, it's good though.
The Predator 2018.
So there's kind of like a kind of gap. Yeah,
there's fair gaps between them. But it's not just. I mean, it's not just films. I mean, there's Predator games. There was an Alien versus Predator game in 2010, I think, which it's actually it's been seen as really, really good, where you can like play as the Predator, or you can play as the Marines, or you can play as the Alien. There's a game I remember specifically, Predator Concrete Jungle, which was out on like original Xbox and stuff like that, which is it needs like an HD remaster or something, because it was a great game, but a really actually good Predator story that I actually really like. I mean, there's crossovers, so like Mortal Kombat had Predator as a fighting character in the 10th one. It's in a lot. It's used a lot. It's like, I mean, the Predator has probably been parodied in multiple things. It's probably turned up in, it just recently turned up in Rick and Morty. The newest episode, the newest series of Rick and Morty, the first episode, the Predator shows up. It's still, to this day, he'll pop up in tons of stuff, and he's still having new things of his own franchise.
Well, I mean, Arnie's parodied himself. Do you ever remember the adverts for Mobile Strike, the game?
No.
Yeah. So it's like, it's like parodies of his characters, isn't it? Like, where do they... Apparently, the Predator makes an appearance in Tom Clancy's Ghost Recon Wildlands.
Oh, I forgot about that.
Bonus mission called The Hunt.
It's been removed though, because they lost the license.
Oh fuck!
But it was really hard. You're like in the jungle. I mean,
is he hunting you?
Aye, so you went to the jungle to fight him, and me, my brother, and I think it was James. We all fought him. He fucking kept on killing us. We finally defeat him. Do you know what he does at the end? Self destructs. You have to leg it. The explosion radius is insane. We all got killed, bar one of us lived. So he's the Arnie, whoever that was. I think it was, I might have been, I don't actually remember who it was. It wasn't me though.
Yeah, and it was featured in Fortnite as a cosmetic outfit.
Yeah, I forgot that he was in Fortnite. But Fortnite has everything at this point.
They're obviously just splashing the cash out there, you know. They make all that money from these young kids Fortnite is V-Bucks.
Fortnite's for like character skins from different things is the best for it.
But they also fucking cost you a fortune.
Compared to other places, they're cheaper. Like COD. COD is the one that costs a lot. Like, get Ash Williams and stuff like that. Not Predator. No. Someone else came to like that. The ones that for Call of Duty are really expensive, like fucking 14 quid above.
Did you talk about a 1994 beat 'em up video game called Alien vs. Predator?
I was talking about the 2010 one.
where Dutch is a playable. I've never heard of that. That's the kind of game I would have played back in the day.
Oh, there was also a Predator game that came out a couple years ago as well.
2020 multiplayer online game.
It was terrible.
Multiplayer video game, Predator Hunting Ground.
Yes, it was made by Gun Media, who made the Friday the 13th game. I've just recently made Apparently, the Apparently, Army
came back as downloadable content.
Yes, and and once it came out, everybody would play as Arnie. So it was just a bunch of Arnies.
Oh, mate, oh, that'd be great. Playing as Dutch.
But I heard it was not very good. Gun Media are not the best developers. But if you see one there with Concrete Jungle, Concrete Jungle is a brilliant game that we all loved very much when we were growing up.
Yeah. Well, that is it for the rules of Cult Film Cafe. And as you can see, it does tick a fair number of the boxes, but it also is let down on a couple as well. Especially because loads of people enjoyed it and went to cinema to see it. If it was a bit of a flop, it would maybe have more of a case. But I mean, massively rewatchable, massively quotable, huge legacy, but it was well reviewed at the time. It made a fuck ton of money and it didn't have that low a budget, and it's not all that controversial. So it's kind of like 50-50. It's one of those where you flip a coin and you go, what are these have more weight? And I think there's some of these rules that we have that have more weight, you know?
Yeah.
So it really depends on it. I still think this is slightly culty. Like, slightly. Ever so slightly. I'm not going to say it's like a cult. Like, Bubba Hotep, the last episode.
I mean, such a cult film.
It's like such a huge difference, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I think it's really hard for an action film with Arnold Schwarzenegger to not be seen by millions of people, even like people your age.
He's just
because you'll watch him in something and go, "What else is he been in?"
I mean,
I'll read that. That tagline sounds really good because Arnie's in it. Ah, fuck it, I'll put that on.
If you look at the top five movie stars of all time, I'm gonna tell you that Arnie's probably, possibly in there.
I'm gonna say top five.
Probably top 10. Like, he's that known. And just,
I suppose it depends how you quantify movie
I mean, who else would you put in?
I don't know. That's tough.
I mean, it's because you can go back so many years.
Well, you could, but it depends how you're quantifying movie star.
But
so we're not just talking about, like, good actors anymore. It's like, it's...
Oh, star. So it's like stars. Known.
Tom Cruise might be like the number one answer to this.
At the moment, probably.
No, but as the way, you look at his whole career.
Is he?
I mean, he's only like 10 years younger than Arnie, maybe actually a bit.
You know, maybe 15 years, probably.
Aye, but like...
14 years, actually, maybe.
I just think it's strange. Like, it depends what... The thing about Tom Cruise, he's actually a decent actor and he's been in some actually really good films that aren't just Mission Impossible films.
He has been about for quite young.
It's really quite difficult to quantify that. And the problem is Arnie never acted for like a good 10 years.
Aye, but
so he had a big
proportion. So known, he was
But the
so
problem
big.
Is he had a big proportion of his career where he could be acting, and obviously when he was like peak physical condition, which fucking he looks fantastic, and even what is he, like 40? I think he's exactly 40 in Predator. I think he was born in 1947, I think.
No.
So he was 40.
I don't think he was 40 in Predator. I think he's more in lines of 40 in Total Recall, I think.
Wait. No.
Or is he in his 40s in Total Recall?
I think he's in his 40s.
Let's go check. Well, he's 75 or 76 now. I think he's 75.
Right, which would make him 1947 and his birthday's this year something.
He's 76.
So when was he born?
1980, right? Okay.
1947.
30th of July.
1947.
1947, yeah.
So this came out 40 years after that.
So he's
he's 40 years old in that. I don't look as good. I don't look as good now.
No one does. But
that's great. Fucking incredible.
He's 10 years younger than my gran.
And he still looks good, but I mean, he's obviously started to age now.
Oh, absolutely, but he's still
he still looks that's
good.
The thing. Like, he never lost his kind of peak. Yeah. Until he got much older than a lot of people, do you know?
Yes.
Which
through his 60s, he still looked great.
Kind of strange.
Yeah.
But he looks great. Like, and all see these like these action films of the 80s. I feel like we're just wanking over Arnold Schwarzenegger at the minute. But he's...
It's Arnie. Big muscle
Arnie.
Man.
It's one of them, isn't it? I said, oh, do you know who's kind of like this day's Arnie? The Rock. Kind of same stature, like build-wise.
It makes me scoff when I hear that.
Right,
but I know what you mean.
You know what I mean? Like, how he's like,
nutsy.
People only go to see the Rock's films because the Rock's in them.
He's
the closest that you'll get to Arnold Schwarzenegger, I think.
He's the highest selling actor at the moment. So, like, his films make the most money, I think, attaching him.
But you understand what I mean? Like, if you were to pick somebody that's in cinema now, it could only be The Rock.
Yeah, The Rock sells stuff right now.
Because you still have to understand that, I mean, Arnie wasn't a great actor. Although he kind of was in great films, you still have to understand that he wasn't a great actor.
Yeah.
Like, I love him, don't get me wrong. I'm not trying to slander him here, but, like, there is levels to acting and...
So if you look at The Rock for the past, like, I think it's the past at least five years, he's been in, like, the top five for, like, grossing the most from films. Like, not like his actual pay, but how much his films that he was in made.
And he's also got his own production company where he's tied into. So yeah. We found out that in our course that it's actually, if you can create a production company and produce the show that you're on, that's how you make all your money.
Yeah.
It's not necessarily just being the face. It's like, if you can control a lot of, like, parts of the puzzle, you obviously, you kind of more, I suppose, you level up in terms of income. And that's obviously what The Rock's done. He's been that successful and managed to make a production company. But I would say that The Rock's probably, like, this generation's Arnie, but he's not as good, obviously.
No, obviously not, but...
He's not in as good of films. I mean, you put on something like Red Notice and go,
fucking Jesus.
I mean, Arnie was making True Lies, mate. You know what I mean? Like,
but I think his catalogs are actually good films.
But he's obviously not got... It's not like every film Arnie's been in is amazing. Like, he has some misses, but...
I think he just puts more into the film and was... And so oh, like, at the time as well, like, films just get chucked out now.
Oh, he's a maniac, Arnold Schwarzenegger. You don't go from what he was to Mr. Olympia, like... five times at the time was a record, and which is kind of funny because when he was doing Conan the Barbarian, he was in that good a shape that he went back and won it. It wasn't actually he stopped competing. It's strange. Mm. It's like
he had to stop competing because he'd been winning.
You don't lose that mentality, I suppose. And he just what he'd done is he took that mentality and focus and just focused on another part, and it worked out.
Because once he started winning the Olympia things, he never stopped losing. Right. He never stopped.
So I think it's still slightly cult, this film. You disagree. You think this is one of these...
It's a classic. I would never call it a classic.
That's fine. It's a classic action film. Whether you deem it cult, I would still have... I'll put one foot over the line and one foot over the other line and sit right on the fence and be one of those arseholes that sit right in the fence and Lachlan stops smiling at me, you cunt, right? Just because you... Pick a side, right? Mister on the fence. I'll be Mister on the fence on this one because I feel like there's a lot. I feel like there's a lot of people that would say it's a cult film, and there's a lot of people that will be like you and go, "Nah, it's total classic. Classic Hollywood.
No
classic
way
cinema.
Okay, classic Hollywood. It's not classic Hollywood. But
classic
like,
cinema.
It's like a. I mean, there's no way in hell this could ever be deemed a fucking cult.
So basically, you're not putting it on the list.
I can't.
Right, if I put it on the list, it's 100% making the list. Oh, honestly, I don't. This is the thing. We always say this at the end of the podcast. And even if I didn't have it on the cult list, would it make my top 100 films of all time? I'm not sure. Because I don't think 100 films seems like a lot. But then when you actually sit down and have a conversation and go, make a list of 100 films. And go, they have to be absolute heaters from 1 to 100. That'd be very difficult, because I guarantee you that you would make a list and show it to somebody, and somebody would just be like, nah, that's shit, mate. Nah, that's shit, mate. That's like a one-star film. Yeah. Like, Kenzie likes Velvet Buzzsaw, which is fucking shite, so...
Oh, but that's not really in the top 100 films, though.
But Nightcrawler's, like, number
five. Oh, absolutely, that's in there. Like, that film's fantastic.
But it's like a top five though. It's just, fucking hell, that's shocking, Kenzie. Shocking.
Listen, it's a brilliant film. If you've not seen Nightcrawler, please watch that as well.
What, we just plug in your 5-star letterbox?
Once upon a time in Hollywood, Nightcrawler. What were my favourite films? Hellboy 1. Just go check. That's fun.
That's a hot take.
I gave it 4.5. I didn't give it 5 stars, but it's still good. And Bullet Train.
Right, you can fuck right off with that. Do not say that on this podcast. Bullet Train is a 2-star film. I can't say that I've not seen it. Don't take that as my opinion because it's a lie. I
can't wait to hear what he thinks of it.
Also, don't take Kenzie's because I feel like it's over exaggerated a wee bit by saying it's a 5-star movie. Like Nightcrawler, I'll stand with you in that one. Once upon a time in Hollywood, check that one out. That'll probably pop up in another episode when we come back to a QT film or another couple of them. But anyway, that is it for this episode of the podcast. And if you would like to go out and give us a little bit of support, you can go and follow us wherever you listen to us. And if you would like to go and follow us over on Instagram, that would be great. Also, that's where we post when things are coming out, what's coming out, keeping up to date. You can go and chat to us there if you want to come on the podcast and you have means to record. You can also shout out, give us a message. We can maybe sort that out as well. But yeah, that is it. So it's a goodbye from me.
And it's a goodbye from me.
Podcast out.
I'll be back.
Where's my mouse went?